You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates national average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. A young man went missing in Mississippi from an island with hundreds of witnesses after arriving with a large group of friends. As his family frantically searched for answers, his friends began talking to the media, and the internet took an interest in the case that spilled over into real life. This week's episode is Nolan Wells, The Case So Far, Part 2.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. Man, the hits keep coming. Officer Tatum released an additional interview since our last episode.
Yeah, it's wild. I gotta assume that some lawyer told them to do this.
It is my understanding that, I mean, their lawyer was with them, Paltzik, and then Cox is the other lawyer. Cox.
They're not telling them not to do it.
It's the opposite, in fact. And I will just quote Warren Hudson from the 52-minute long Tatum interview. He said, "We're grown men." He said, "We are grown men. Our parents don't need to know us in order for us to be friends." He was arguing that Nolan's family, saying maybe they weren't so close. But I think that applies also to the infantilization of these grown men that we've heard. Because you hear a 12-year-old black boy like Tamir Rice is like a young man with a gun, waved it at the police, you know, whatever. No, he's a child. Versus you'll hear Nolan Wells, a man went missing and was doing drugs and drinking and whatever way you can besmirch. But when it comes to these white grown men, everybody was calling them boys, those poor boys. You guys were being so critical of those boys. They said it themselves. They are grown men. They have chosen to put themselves in the public spotlight. I think several other people involved in this case are not making contradictory statements repeatedly on camera.
I haven't seen them on camera at all.
No, there really is not anyone else out there yapping as much as these folks. And so because they're inserting themselves into the public context, I'm not going to this guy's diary and stealing it from him. He went on a Turning Point USA affiliate's public YouTube channel. And now, by the way, I get ads for Jordan Peterson because I've been watching fucking Officer Tatum's channel. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, my algorithm's all fucked. It thinks I'm a Republican now. I'm like, whatever. It's fine.
There
not
should
interested.
Be a way on YouTube where you can toggle on or off. Like, research. Is this stuff I want to continue seeing after this one video? And it's like, this was just for research. I'm not trying to get this shit in my algorithm.
Please, research mode. Also, Officer Tatum, if you haven't been to his YouTube channel, almost, I won't say every one of his thumbnails, but a large quantity of his thumbnails, he looks like he is so ready to suck a dick in every one of them. He's just some of them he's happy. Some of them he's shocked at it. Some of them he's like, oh, yeah. And some of them he's like, oh, no. Some of them are dirty
dicks.
We've
all had blowjobs that run the gamut like that.
I was like, sir, I've made all those faces when faced with penises in my life. I just didn't put them on a 1 million follower YouTube thread channel. But you do you, officer. So anyways, I just want to – I noticed that phrase stuck out to me today when I was listening to them again. When Warren's like staring at Tatum going, we're grown men. And I said, oh, okay. Thanks, fellas.
I wonder who's paying for their lawyers.
Great question. Probably either pro bono or family money, or they, Ed Paltzik, their defamation attorney that has worked with Donald Trump, repeatedly plugged their GiveSendGo the alternative to GoFundMe. He plugged it multiple times throughout Tatum's interview. And Tatum also was drawing attention to it of that would help you guys, right? Isn't that a great way to support and help you guys? So as much as
their rich parents aren't paying for it.
Apparently they're rich
for these grown men's attorneys.
Apparently they need, they're so grown, but so broke because they need a give, send, go to pay for it. And it's funny because they all accused throughout the interviews of Ben Crump or the Wells family of being, you know, in it for the money or grift or whatever. And I'm like, let's just keep plugging that give, send, go, fellas. Let's keep plugging it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to say like, they're asking for money and we're not, but they're like, they're asking for money. So are we. It's like, okay.
You can't have both. If you're going to go on an interview and refer to yourself as grown men, then in other content to be referred to as the boys and use that to your advantage, you can't have both those things. Just like you can't criticize the Wells family for a give, fund, whatever, but then, oh, it's okay for the boys to have one. Look, if no one knows what happens as of now, then both sides should be entitled to the same everything.
Mm-hmm. True. Nobody's been charged with anything. There's no technical suspects to say. Literally, that word has not been used with regards to anybody. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But they're just doing a lot of interviews. So we will quote from them liberally. And yeah, I think we're being fair because we not only looked at the Wells family's account, but also these guys' account. And where they match, and we'll talk about it. And where they don't, we point that out as well. So
it's really fascinating. I can't think of another case that we've covered where people involved seemingly got ahead of it by just going on interviews.
Not get ahead of it, but the only other person I thought that would not stop talking to a camera was J.P. Miller, John Paul Miller from the Micah Miller case.
Oh, yeah, in fact, that's true.
Stay tuned for a true crime headlines update. He's about to go to trial for federal stalking charges. But again, a person that we said, well, we don't know what he did now, but it depends on what the investigation shows. And now, years later, he is being charged in federal court for that. Or similar to, I don't say Murdoch was doing a lot of interviews, but he definitely, his attorneys were out talking a whole lot in advance. But it was not the defendant out giving, crying an interview. None, these guys, by the way, have not cried, but J.P. Miller talking to his phone and going live because he was likely on some sort of substance would be the only person whose judgment I've seen that's as bad as these grown men.
I forgot about that. Yeah, no, you're totally right.
In his Spider-Man outfit.
Oh my gosh. Is he being charged with federal stalking for Micah or another person?
No, okay. For Micah. So yeah, we'll cover that in another one. But just similar to that, it was literally called the case so far because it was breaking. It was on TikTok. Mm-hmm. You and I were both enraptured with it, trying to figure out what is the truth. And as always, these cases always have updates.
Yeah. And when they're happening in real time, you know, a lot of times things get learned where it kind of fills in puzzle pieces that you might have had, or maybe you have to go back and then say, oh, okay, everyone was reporting XYZ, but we've now learned that ABC happened.
Or it couldn't have happened how they said it or whatever. Yeah. So we just keep our eyes peeled but this is where the case stands today, and it's pretty much just the month of July.
Yes, yes, which is got to be the longest month his family has ever experienced in their life.
Worst summer ever.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Mississippi nurse and mom Christine Wells Wansley received the worst call of her life on July 4th, 2026, around 11 p.m. It was from Warren Hudson, a friend of her 18-year-old son, Nolan. Christine had tracked down the location of Nolan's phone. It was on land with his friends. Warren told her that none of his friends who'd taken Nolan out to a party island earlier that day could find him. In a later interview with conservative commentator Brandon Tatum, Warren claimed that in the initial call, he told Christine that Nolan had left his phone with the group. Warren later claimed repeatedly that he
called the Coast Guard
and provided a redacted screenshot to Tatum. Meanwhile, Christine called the local sheriff to report her son missing.
And he said that he was telling her, no, don't worry about it. We don't know where he's at. Don't worry. And she kind of said, don't tell him, Mom, not to worry.
Mm-mm.
Where's my kid? What was he wearing? They're trying to figure out what he was wearing. This is where the photo of him in shorts sitting on the bow of a boat and with two gentlemen to his right, one gentleman to his left. Nolan is the only black man in the photo. And they said that was taken with a handheld digital camera on the boat right when they got there and were putting their phones away. And that was what they used to tell Miss Christine what they were wearing, what Nolan had been wearing, because she was like, you know, he didn't post a Snapchat. I don't know.
Yeah. When you haven't received a call from your son in, I mean, from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock, arguably, you are checking his Snapchat. You don't see image. I don't even know how Snapchat works. I've literally never used it, but I know that all the youths use it. And you can, I mean, just like with any social media, if you log on and you're like, oh, he hasn't been active, and that's really unlike him, especially since his phone is showing it's on land. So arguably there's better service. It's in, he has it, unlike on the water, because they all leave their phones in the boat, which makes sense. If you're at a lake and you're swimming, you wouldn't have your phone on you. You would on land. It's going to be interesting to see, although a lot of it was deleted, what Nolan's phone records show. How many times were his parents trying to call him before Warren called them, you know, to check up on him?
As for the deletion, she's really said there was not stuff on there. There's, that's kind of gotten conflated with stuff being deleted. The guys have said, we don't have his password. We could not have gotten into his phone if we wanted it. We never did. We gave it straight to him. So it's one of those things that when you download it, when you grab a forensic technology person plugs it in and takes a full Cellbrite, whatever that that company is, from it, it'll, you'll see, you'll see what got deleted, if anything, what was taken, what was not taken, when it was moved. I think you'll see the physical movement of the boat, you know, that can also be confirmed through all that kind of stuff. But as of now, it's just kind of one group is saying things seemed like they were missing, the other group said we didn't touch it, so we don't know why it's missing.
Public suspicion that Warren Hudson called a personal acquaintance rather than the official Coast Guard emergency line stems from statements shared by his associates and internet sleuths. Christine Wells recounted that Warren said,
I know some people at the Coast Guard,
right before ending his call with her. Critics point out that Warren's call lasted an unusually long 20 minutes. The phone number in publicly released screenshots was blurred, which would be unusual if he called a public reporting line. There was also an apparent lack of an official emergency dispatch log matching his timeline. The Coast Guard later confirmed that it received a notification on the 4th, but that the details provided during the initial call
did not require Coast Guard assistance.
The federal agency only joined the search at 12:26 p.m. on July 5th, after being asked by Jackson County sheriffs.
Yeah, it was interesting that he told Nolan's mom, according to her, I know some people at the Coast Guard. And then every time he said in the interviews with Tatum, he just said, I called the Coast Guard. But then when Tatum said, look, we'll have these screenshots, and there's a screenshot from Warren's phone, outgoing call to Miss Christine. She didn't answer the first time. She may, and then either she called him back or he called, but it was like within 30 seconds they connected. And then they spoke. And when they hung up, there is a call, like right when he hung up with her, he initiated a call to a Seattle number that's blurred out. So the Coast Guard numbers are based in Seattle. That's, I was searching to figure out what Seattle had to do with Coast Guards. That's kind of just how the Coast Guard service works. But why would you, if you're calling 1-800-COAST-GUARD or 1-800-REPORT-A-PERSON, why would you blur it out when you released the screenshot? I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me either. I also find it misleading to say, I called the Coast Guard versus I called my friend who is in the Coast Guard.
Yeah. And that again, stuff like that can be proven with a Coast Guard report, a recording of the call from the Coast Guard or his phone records. And you pull Warren's phone records and you go, you called your buddy Billy, who's in the Coast Guard or whatever. But I have not found confirmation of who Warren exactly called. He reiterates over and over the Coast Guard, them, as the entity, but I don't know, but why it was blurred out. It's, it's the Coast Guard's number. That's our tax dollars.
Yeah. There's no need to, if you called 911, 911 isn't going to get blurred out.
Yeah. It was strange. And also why, what did he say on the call that night for 20 minutes that the Coast Guard said it doesn't require our assistance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If one calls the Coast Guard. Presumably it's because a water-related accident has occurred and they need the help from the Coast Guard to help with whatever situation is going on that warranted the call in the first place. So it will be very interesting if that information is released, because if we all agree, if everyone agrees, like, we're on the island, we left our friend there. We don't know where he is. He was coming back with somebody else. It's now 11 p.m. We haven't seen him in hours. If you think that he came back with somebody and you just haven't seen him, wouldn't the first move you would make be calling his phone?
Well, they knew where it was. It was in Wyatt's truck parked outside. Yeah. So they didn't have to do that.
If your argument is Nolan came back with other people, mm-hmm. are they saying he did not get the phone from them? They Correct. Still had the phone. Okay.
They said five different friends left their phones in Wyatt's boat just because they didn't. And verbatim, Warren said, "We're trustworthy people. We're not going to steal the phones." No one accused you of stealing a phone, buddy. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
But when Wyatt docked the boat, he cleaned it out, put the phones in his truck because he said we didn't know where we were going to be. And when people wanted them, we could say, "Hey, it's with us." And so his argument for calling the Coast Guard was strange to me, only because Warren said, "Well, we really weren't worried. We thought he could be asleep on someone's couch somewhere." But then I talked to his mom, and then I decided to call the Coast Guard. And he said, "I'd rather call the Coast Guard 100 times and be wrong than have not been wrong." But
why wouldn't you have called the police?
Maybe because she said she was. I don't know. I think everybody calling the police probably would have helped. I don't know, hindsight. But
I also think you would call, or at least I would, call other friends, text other friends like, "Hey, is Nolan mm-hmm. with you?" People yeah. that you thought that he left with, the mm-hmm. girl that you claimed to have seen him with. Before I called Nolan's mom, I would do whatever I could to see, like, "Hey, is he around so we can just, like, put our concerns to rest here?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be my first move before I immediately called the Coast Guard, unless I was pretty confident that he was somewhere in the water.
Yeah, timeline-wise, it seemed that they didn't start to be concerned about even where he was until well after 9 p.m. when Warren finished talking with, I believe Ava is the young lady's name. They dropped her name a couple times in the interview. Ava's dad, Warren said, "Oh, I'm upstairs talking with Ava's dad." And then I come down, and this was between 9 and 11, he said. Mm-hmm. They all the friends start going, "Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Have you seen him?" Everybody's checking Snapchat, looking, texting or whatever. And then that's when Warren called Nolan's mom, was after some consensus that, "Have you heard? Have you heard?" And they said no. But the timeline's kind of condensed as to when it happened at Ava's house.
And if everyone's phone records are subpoenaed, then that could be proven mm-hmm. if they were all calling and texting each other mm-hmm. to find that out or not.
And yeah, they've pulled the Snapchat records as well. So Snapchat would have that too.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Ay, sometimes I don't eat, and that's not good because then my stomach hurts. And I think, why am I not eating? Why am I not eating so often? Well, because I don't have the snacks, unless and until my Hungry Root subscription comes in. And Hungry Root has simplified my life and made my stomach so much better, because now I don't have to go and scrounge around for old expired trail mix or some dirty stuck together gummy snack from 5 years ago I never threw away. Instead, I'm like, these are clean, delicious jerky sticks. They have little salted nuts. They have little packages that I could just grab and chuck in my purse, so I'm never hungry.
I love it. Hungry Root makes healthy eating effortless because they plan your meals, they stock your cart, and deliver everything you need each week. All the things that just suck time and your will to live out of your day. It's all tailored to your dietary preferences, health goals, and budget. And the personalization is unmatched. They take care of all the guesswork, so you can just enjoy your meals and snacks. With over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes, so many of them are ready in under 15 minutes. So for those busy nights where you're like, "I just got to get something on the table," it's perfect for that. They have over 1,000 grocery items, smoothies, snacks, salad kits, sweets, supplements. It's so easy to find food that fits your lifestyle.
Quality is a top priority too. Hungry Root screens out over 200 additives and only works with trusted, clean label brands. You'll find high quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, organic produce, and non-GMO options. As I say, I want food in my food.
Yes, man, I want food in my food. And I want, like you said, stuff I can throw in my bag mm-hmm. and be like, this is going to sustain me for a while. I need some hummus with chips. I need my organic dark chocolate banana bites.
You love them.
Just granola, nuts. Like you said, the jerky. There's so many things that you can throw in your bag for snacks or put in your kids' lunch. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first order, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. The friends who had been on the boats with Nolan had partied at the home of a girl named Ava, according to later interviews. Sometime after 11 p.m., the group then moved on to Jack Spitalo's house. After midnight, a friend from high school called the group Warren was with. Warren and other friends described the caller as
confrontational,
as he asked where they were and why they had Nolan's phone. A short time later, the caller and his group arrived at Jack's house. Per CNN, Tashima Hands, the mother of one of Wells' friends, had used Snapchat to track Nolan's phone to a house where
a lot of people
were gathered. It's not confirmed whether this refers to the same visit Warren describes.
Yeah, so they, all three of Morgan is one of the friends, Jack Spitalo is who's this house that they had met at to everybody gathered to before they went on the boat and then they came back there afterwards, and Warren and Wyatt and several others. They made it sound like they were ambushed.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, they basically said, we get this call that says, we know that we know where his phone is and we know it's with you. And they're like, yeah, it's in the car. You can have it. And then the group just shows up, which Warren's whole argument was, well, I told his mom I had the phone. On the very first phone call with her, I said, we've got his phone. It's in Wyatt's truck. He just left it. And he was saying he would rather have had a friendlier handoff, perhaps, than what happened here.
That night, Warren, Jax, Wyatt, Morgan, and others were all staying together at Jax's house, where Nolan's phone was sitting inside Wyatt's truck, parked outside. Warren explained in a later interview that Nolan had left the phone on the boat's dash along with five other people's phones, including a friend named Javon. This act was described by Warren and Jax as routine, since phones don't go in the water and cell service is unreliable on the island. A group of roughly 10 to 15 people arrived at Jax's house after midnight and met Jax, Morgan, Wyatt, Warren, and others. Per their account, the phone was handed over without incident. The concerned friends then pressed Wyatt for his home address, where the boat Nolan had been on was parked, wanting to search the boat itself. Wyatt provided the address, and the concerned friends headed there directly afterward. Meanwhile, Wyatt, supposedly worried for his parents asleep at home, called 911 to report a group was heading toward his house.
Hey, these people are on the way to my house or already at my house. My mom and dad are there alone, and they know nothing about this.
Per Morgan, Wyatt's mother came outside and spoke with the concerned friends before her son showed up.
Yeah, Morgan, that quote is from Morgan in the Officer Tatum interview. So it sounds like there's one group at Jax's house that are the Wyatt, Warren, Jax, Morgan, the people that have been doing the interviews. The pro-Nolan group arrives asking for the phone. And then as they leave, Wyatt and Morgan are tracing them on Snapchat and can see the group is headed. Like they said, what's your address? And then they said they really are headed there. But it was interesting phrasing that Morgan used saying regarding Wyatt's parents, they know nothing about this.
What is this is my question.
Yeah, that's a great question. And the idea that she came out and talked, you know, Mrs. Pyron went out and talked with him. I'd be interested to know the contents of that conversation. Wyatt has not sat down for one of these interviews, and what happened between his mother and the group searching the boat has not been made public so far as I've seen. Mm-hmm. But Warren did say sort of ridiculously, what did they think we were hiding Nolan on the boat? To Tatum. Some do.
Well, a couple things. I mean, maybe this is me. If I knew a bunch of teenagers were headed over to my house and my parents were asleep, it wouldn't even occur to me to call 911 before I call my house, wake up my parents and be like, hey, something's going on. I'll explain when I get there. But if this group shows up, just we'll be there in a minute and, you know, we'll sort it out. We'll let you know what's going on. To say my mom and dad are there alone and they know nothing about this. What is this? And why did your brain go to calling 911 to report that when it's not a crime for a group to go to somebody's house?
Well, and they said, we want to search the boat. And yeah. Then he said, okay, here it's where this is where it's parked. So they did. Jax later did say they did search the boat and search, quote, searching all over. I don't really know much about that. And then that was sort of how that story ended in the interviews, because it sounds like Wyatt's parents were the ones that saw the search happen, and perhaps Wyatt when he got there.
Yes. It would be interesting to know how the boat was searched and the findings and from all of that.
Yeah, or how far they were able to get onto it or into it. You know, they say, okay, you can pull the tarp up, but don't climb on board or whatever. And the like I said, the quote we read is the friend, Morgan, quoting Wyatt on the 911 call. So I would also like to hear the actual 911 call and the phrasing he used. If he did say, I already tried to call my parents and they won't answer and they da-da-da. But as far as Morgan said, he just said, but my parents don't know about this. There's people on the way to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the cops are like, what is going on? Like, what do you mean there's people coming to your house?
Because no one except them knows what's happened, in my opinion. So, yeah, everyone's a bit confused. Like, what is even the cops like, okay, what? What? Yeah. Well, it's a hard thing to explain to 911. Why these people are headed to your house and why you're afraid that they're going to do something, or what are you afraid of when they show up?
And what does the police report say all the participants said after the officers showed up? Because the cop's going to sit there and talk with everybody and get statements and say, you know, is there an issue? Do we have, is it trespass? Is it whatever? Is there assault? Are you scared for your safety or whatever? And that would be captured in a police report, since it has not yet gone to the grand jury. The 911 call, police reports, all this stuff is going to remain sealed until the grand jury.
Around 1 a.m., Nolan's stepfather came to Jax's house, reportedly calm, asking for Nolan's keys. After a frantic search and text from a friend, Jax learned they were near an Xbox. He retrieved them and handed them over within about 30 seconds, without incident, by his account. People continued gathering and knocking at Jax's house into the early morning, according to Jax. His brother eventually called police, who came and cleared people from the property. Warren, Jax, Morgan, and Wyatt considered searching for Nolan themselves that night, but didn't have a boat already in the water. They also reasoned that they'd already contacted Warren's friend, who was in the Coast Guard.
And so you think it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning, what's it going to do us to go out? Or you've already called the police twice that night, you might want to stay inside. Because you're all underage drinking as well.
True. Yeah. I don't know a ton about boats and how difficult it is to get them in the water. If my best friend, which is how these grown men refer to Nolan, was missing, and I thought there was any chance you could be in the water, I'm getting a fucking boat in the water and I'm going all around to see what I can find. I don't give a shit what time it is.
That's what I felt like too. Again, they use, perhaps for them, best friend is a tier rather than a person is what it sounds like. Cause truly the treatment's kind of like, let's just go to bed. It's fine. And with regard to the keys as well, you know, the two stories are kind of like, we asked for the keys and they were like, we don't know where they are. And it was framed as suspicious. Was it? Maybe. I don't know. It also is a large house, a bunch of teenagers / 20 somethings were partying there. There was shit everywhere. And once somebody texted in the group with Nolan's father comes up and says, hey, you know, where are the keys? Then they received a text. It was like, somebody go check by the Xbox. And when they went and checked, they were like, oh, there it is. So, you know, again, I want to give credit where credit's due. I don't know that they needed to keep his keys for any suspicious purpose. Yeah. You know,
Yeah, that I wouldn't see any benefit to doing that. And everyone's drinking and, yeah, something. It's I can't find my keys pretty much every day. So
my own keys on a good day in my own house. That's what I'm saying. Much less a stranger's in a big, like, I think it's Jax's grandfather's house, too. So it's kind of like the family lake house, perhaps, larger.
And everyone's been drinking. It would make sense. You can't find them. It's impressive that within 30 seconds, they were able to find them.
Mm-hmm. They were like, I can find the Xbox.
True. Per interview footage with those involved, an informal search party went out the next morning. Warren, Wyatt, and Trayston Shepherd took the Palm Beach boat. Separately, Morgan, Jax, and other friends went out in another boat with Warren's mother and stepfather. Coordinating loosely, they split the north and south sides of the island, encountering roughly 7 Mississippi Department of Marine Resources boats, park rangers, helicopters, and drones already searching. They crossed paths with Nolan's former high school football coach, who had also joined the search. The group searched a rip current area they called the washing machine between Horn and Ship Islands, where they believed a person in the water would most likely end up. They found nothing.
It was a hot day. They said that excessive heat was causing drone batteries to go out. So the drone was having issues and they were talking to those possibly involved. They were trying to call people. But this washing machine area is sounds scary because it's where two currents come together and create kind of like a sucks you in.
For sure. I mean, lakes, oceans, anything. That's one reason I'm nervous around them is shit just goes on under the water that you don't, you can't know about, especially unless you're from the area. And so quickly something can go wrong in the water and it happens so fast. Like you see people swimming in the ocean and they just like are in waist deep water and all of a sudden they're pulled out to shore because some crazy wave and a current came in.
No, you're right. It happened so fast is a good way to put it because it is just like there one and gone the next second. Mm-hmm. They always say drownings are silent, but especially with a rip current or something like that. That's rip currents are like up there with quicksand of things that I'm never really around, but I'm irrationally afraid of.
Yes. Yeah. Warren, Jackson, Morgan each said they spoke with law enforcement by phone on July 5th and were later scheduled for formal interviews, which they described as roughly 90 minutes each. All three said they voluntarily turned over their phones to investigators and the FBI for forensic review.
So like I said, the contents of everybody's phone, I think, is going to be super telling, as is the contents of everybody's cloud activity, you know, Snapchat, social media, whatever. But text, deleted text, phone calls, when they happen, GPS logs to prove who was where and when, I think will be interesting when it comes out.
I agree.
Sinisterhood will be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp before, but let's talk about what people who actually use it are saying. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5, based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. Real people updated every day. You can see it for yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews. Hundreds of people are sharing how much the service has helped them. The feedback speaks for itself. When I finished my therapy, like I did yesterday morning with my therapist on my back porch, because that's where I take my laptop and have a nice little breezy outdoor therapy session. At the end, a little box popped up. It was like, how was this? Would you recommend your therapist? So I get an opportunity to review the individual sessions, which I like that. It's not just an overall, how's it going? And you can even write feedback that BetterHelp sees as well. So I like that.
I love that. Mm-hmm. More than 6 million people worldwide have used BetterHelp, and it's not hard to see why. Every therapist on the platform has at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, plus all the required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. And getting started is genuinely easy. Answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and if it's not the right fit for you, you can switch at any time. No friction, no commitment to someone who isn't working for you.
See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit betterhelp.com/sinister. That's betterhelp.com/sinister.
Every time in one of these cases, we learn or we're reminded that just because you delete something doesn't mean it is forever deleted. Mm-hmm. It is somewhere out there that some Cellebrite or other expert in technology and phones and all of that will be able to find.
So I'm always like, you're smart, but you're not like smarter than an iPhone. Like, I don't think I'm smarter than an iPhone. Like, I don't even, you know, if I deleted something and deleted something, I was like, to think that the user interface is the be all end all is very foolish. Yeah. You know, it's like being like, I did it. It's gone. Like,
I deleted this photo. Therefore, it never happened.
Like, no, because
everything goes to the cloud now, which I, there's a lot of clouds and they hold a lot of secrets.
There's so many, the clouds are full of secrets. They're like, they're not even up in the sky. They're in all these fucking data centers. They're like, they are.
A National Park Service ranger found Nolan's body on the morning of Monday, July 6th, around 8:45 a.m. Nolan was found floating in the water off the western tip of Horn Island. Dental records later confirmed the identification. Local outlets like WLOX and the Jackson County Sheriff's Departments issued public statements confirming it before national outlets including CBS, ABC, and CNN picked up the story. Finally, Christine Wansley also confirmed the family's devastation in a social media post that day.
I think this goes to show how quickly the media and the national attention zeroed in on this, that he's gone for less than 72 hours before, and his body being found is already being reported on CBS, ABC, CNN, all that.
On July 8th, Jackson County Chancery Judge Ashley Cole, stepmother of Warren Hudson, posted publicly on Facebook
to dispel some rumors with facts,
disclosing her judicial role in her family's ties to the Wells family's community. In the post, she denied that either she or her husband were present on Horn Island on July 4th. Judge Cole posted again on July 11th, sharing screenshots of graphic death threats sent to her and her family, and said the family would decline media interviews, but would speak directly with the Wells family and Ben Crump. 5 weeks later, in an August 10th interview with Officer Tatum, Warren stated that his mother was on
the backside of the island on the south side
on July 4th, in the context of explaining a missed phone call. Warren said,
I made a phone call to my mom and I had to call her like 8 times before she picked up because either her service was bad, she was on the back side of the island on the south side, or my service was bad and it was just hard to get through.
Whether he was referring to his biological mother or his stepmother has not been confirmed. Regardless, it was the first confirmation that one of the teen's parents were present on the island the day Nolan went missing.
And that's what most of the time they've discussed who was there. And I've seen pictures of who was there, with the exception of one video I've seen. And I was like, that guy is not a teen. He looks extremely old. And it's a guy that's probably maybe in his 60s or 70s, shirtless. And he matches the description of Wyatt's grandfather. I do not know that it is Wyatt's grandfather. I don't know that, but they look the same. Mm-hmm. He looks the same shirtless as Wyatt's grandfather looks in a polo shirt, is all I know. I don't know that Wyatt's grandfather was present on the island that day, whether, you know, or not. But Judge Cole, she says she was not. But Wyatt's mom was, so.
During the Tatum interviews, when Warren says this, and the order, Warren's sitting on the far left, and next to him in the middle is Jax. The way Jax's head snapped.
He looks in
to Warren, like, and just a death stare. And he was just looking down, but at the second he said, she was on the back side of the island on the south side, head whips around. And this is the first time we heard a parent was on the island.
And the only reason why I thought it was the first time I had heard it was I'm literally walking on my walking pad with headphones on, like transcribing the whole, like I have the dirty YouTube transcription. I clean it up so me and you can use it. And I'm just like sitting there listening. And I heard him be like, da, 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 my mom was on the south side of the island. I screamed aloud. I go, what? And Paris was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay. And he's like, what? I said, there was a fucking parent on the island. He's mm-hmm. like, what? I said, what do you mean? Our boat's sinking. Our boat's sinking. Our boat's sinking. We have to make all the... There was somebody's fucking mother was there? Yeah. And you didn't just go, hey, mom, come and get us? Or did you? And she came on her boat. And we just haven't heard that her boat was near your boat. I don't know. But what?
It would be odd if she was there by herself.
Also that. also that she is married to presumably a stepdad, or maybe, I don't know. She was out with gal pals. She was chaperoning some youths. I don't know. But she was there on the South Side. And I think we all need to know, A, what was Warren's mom doing on the South Side? Probably partying like everybody else. Fine. And B, whether and to what extent he made contact with her. I had to call her like 8 times before she picked up. When did she pick up? For what reason did you call her? And then when you did speak to her, did she come and meet you? Was she with you? If so, was she with the group when you guys were all anchored together out as you were trying to get the water out of the Triton? Questions.
Yeah, it does leave a lot of questions. Another question that I hadn't considered until I saw another photo of the alleged sinking boat. And I would say, I mean, you can't even really count because the photo is too far away. A pile of orange life jackets is how I would describe them, are sitting on, or all piled up on just one end of the boat. My question is, if your boat is sinking, why is everyone on the boat? Why don't you put on a life jacket and get out of the boat? If I'm on a sinking boat, I'm going to put on a life jacket and jump out of the boat. Also, if you're not using them, why were they just all over the boat? Normally, I believe they're stowed in the undercarriage of the boat. Mm-hmm. So the boats that we are seeing, there is a hatch, for lack of a better word, on the bottom of the boat that you can lift up that has a deep storage unit there that one would probably keep life jackets in.
Mm-hmm. If you're sitting with your butt flush to the floor of the boat and you open the hatch, which is in the bow, it sort of is like the floor is opening up like a trapdoor. And say you're sitting with your butt on the floor of the boat and you put your legs in, the depth is about a little bit lower than your knee, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So that depth is 18 to 24 inches probably.
Something like that.
If you're sitting there with your legs in, and like you said, it's coming up to your knees. So it's up. You can't stand up in it by any means, but you have enough room for storage, coolers, life jackets, whatever the hell people put down in their boats.
Shitload of fish. If you, I don't know. You probably don't put fish.
Yeah, a bunch of fish.
Yeah.
If all of those are pulled out of there and no one's using them and the boat is sinking, so you arguably would either put on a life jacket, get out. It's just interesting to me and doesn't make sense why there's a photo of all of those life jackets piled up and no one's using them. And in fact, no one's getting off the boat. If they're sinking and taking on water, get off the boat. There's other boats too around that you can get onto.
That's what confused me from their whole story, this whole boat sinking story, which, whatever. Per the account from the Officer Tatum interviews, it was like, well, at 4:30, we got on the boat and we looked down in that cubby, and down in the cubby, we saw, oh my gosh, there's like water down here. What do? We got to get it out. So then we got as many people on the boat as possible. They're like, we start telling everybody, get on the boat, get on the boat. We got to go. We got to go. And Nolan refused, maybe because the fucking boat was sinking, you know, whatever. But they're all like, get, you know, they all leave. And you're right, in the footage, again, Officer Tatum has shared about a 3-second clip of what appears to be, in some angles, 4 boats that have been tied together, but what has only been admitted in interviews to be 3 boats. So again, your eyes versus what they tell you. I don't know. Go check it out yourself. We'll put the links to the screenshots. But you're right. If there's so many other vessels you could get on, and the whole point of getting this boat as organized as possible in order to go hydroplane it, because they're like, you got to plane it back. We got to go as fast as possible to plane it. I mean, maybe their argument is we needed people to weigh down the bow and all come up to the bow in order to weigh it down. But they had already been towed a 1/4 mile from the island, and they're not all piled up on the bow. They're kind of everywhere on the boat. So like you said, him to be on the phone being like, oh, we're sinking. We're going down. We're going down. We're sinking. We're going down. We're going down. I'm like, you don't really, nobody looks like they're going down. Everybody's kind of chilling, not chilling, but they're all kind of milling about.
It didn't seem like a situation in which there was a lot of panic happening, like to get off the boat or scooping, shoveling water out as fast as one could.
No, not really. A lot of kind of standing, staring around, bending, stooping, and looking down, sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back. I'll tell you what. If there's one thing I love to see, it's my Indicloud package in my mailbox. It is a feeling that my plant is here for me, and I've needed my plant, and I'm happy to see my plant. It's my way to come to your house. We like to talk about cases. Sometimes we talk about the news. Sometimes we talk about our lives. It's just a good way to unwind and chill. And I certainly have become less like, I wish this whole place would explode and everyone would die inside of it when I've got my IndieCloud.
Well, that's exactly why people have been enjoying a more modern way to actually decompress lately. And that's where IndieCloud is making a difference. IndieCloud is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary for gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, zero sugar THC sodas, energy gummies, and extra strength sleep gummies. Everything is federally legal hemp THC, lab tested, and shipped directly and discreetly to your door. Thank goodness, because honestly, summer has gone on long enough, and I am ready for the triple digits to go away, so I need something to calm me down so I don't lose it.
Right? They have extra low-dose options if you're trying to stay functional in that heat. Also, THC sodas for a smooth, predictable relaxation, just cracking a cold one at the end of the night and knowing you're not going to feel like shit the next day. Extra straight sleep gummies for the deep recovery nights, and pre-rolls, like I said. Their Bob Saget's great. Their Pineapple Express is great. I can't thank IndieCloud enough for being a sponsor, because I really do love your product.
I've never had a product I didn't like. The other night, I was like, oh, I have a rope gummy has what looks to be nerds all over it. And it was just like candy. And I was just eating it. I was like, this is so good. And then just like
feeling
a
great,
nice mellow feeling followed. Yeah. And I still have a lot of it left, because you don't need a lot to make a difference. It
goes a long way.
If you're 21 or older, go to indiecloud.co. That's .co, not .com. And use code CREEPY for 30% off your first subscription order. That's indiecloud.co, code CREEPY for 30% off. Shipped routinely and discreetly to your door. Plus free gifts and free shipping on qualifying orders. And don't forget to fill out the quick survey when you order to support this show.
Enjoy responsibly, and huge thanks to IndieCloud for helping everybody enjoy the last stretch of the season with a little more ease, a little more presence, and a little more time for the moments that matter.
As the case went viral nationally, new claims began circulating about who Nolan was with in his final hours. By July 12th, Rolling Stone had published an article addressing the viral fight video and Trayston Shepherd's claim that the shouting voice was his own, not Nolan's. He also repeated that Nolan had stayed behind because he'd met a girl. The young woman was later publicly identified as 19-year-old Katie McCormack. Separately, a rumor emerged romantically tying Bart Edmondson Jr. to Katie. Photos purporting to show the two of them together were later disputed by Bart's attorney, who said the photos depicted another woman, not Katie.
Bless this poor girl's heart, who was at least seen with Nolan, but she said she didn't see him after about 3. And then I think as soon as everybody started getting questioned about when did you last see Nolan, they all just started giving her name. But what was confusing,
she kind of got drug into it,
which is confusing to me because they referenced texting her throughout the interview with Tatum. Like, well, someone texted Katie to see where he was, which confused me why that wasn't your first text. Although she said he left with you guys. I don't know. I thought he was, I thought he left. But she's, so far she's really stayed out. She's not given any interviews. She's made one single social media comment, which was kind of cryptic. It said, "What's understood don't have to be said. Just pray for his family and friends. I'm good. And all I can do is pray for healing over them. This is a terrible situation all in all."
That's an interesting post.
So
her sister also came out defending her, saying she wasn't the reason that he stayed behind.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, Gracie was her sister. So that's got to suck if you're just like, I don't know, I met this guy, he was a nice guy, and then, you know, shook hands, walked away, and then suddenly you're thrust as the alibi.
Yeah. Nolan's parents laid him to rest in Ocean Springs on July 20th. Morgan, Warren, Jax, and other friends at the center of the controversy did not attend, later saying they feared being jumped or hurt and also didn't want to draw attention away from Nolan. That same day, an attorney associated with Crump's team sent legal notices to Nolan's friends and their families, warning of anticipated civil litigation and a duty to preserve evidence.
Which this is a good move to do. I mean, the problem is it's a little bit, you know, just the 20th.
Yeah.
But you might not have had, without having a cause of death or anything like that, they still don't have a cause of death. It's hard to file or to proceed with wrongful death litigation because who are your defendants going to be if you don't quite know? But you do, I think you can proceed under like John Doe's 1 through 5, I think, know something. And then I think they could be these people. And then you conduct discovery from there. So I'm excited, not excited, but I'm interested to see what the Snapchat data and stuff shows.
So in that case, you can keep your phone. But now that you've been put on notice, like you cannot delete anything from here on out, but you still do have your own phone.
It's my understanding. Yeah, it's like an anti-spoliation notice. And if you get it, it's just don't delete anything from. Usually it includes dates or perhaps a descriptor of contents of like, don't delete anything that has to do with Nolan Wells. Don't delete anything that has to do with July 4th to July, whatever. Don't delete, you know, whatever they're proceeding under as their cause of death. You know, if they thought they, you know, all of Nolan's friends brought a lion on the boat and the lion ate him, you know, I was really thinking something more serious like drugs, but hypothetically speaking, you would be like, we would want to see any text messages with animal handlers, animal wranglers, animal trainers, and, you know, so it just depends on what you might think happened in order to know the scope of the anti-spoliation. But to answer, yeah, you keep your stuff.
So can any of the communication in whatever way, snaps, texts, pictures, whatever, that happened after July 20th, not deleted, just occurred, be admitted?
What do you mean?
Like if they're put on notice on July 20th, like don't delete anything. And on July 21st or later they get it and somebody hypothetically sends a text, it's like, did you guys get the same thing that we can't delete anything off our phone? Or it's just, hey, we're all meeting at Chili's tonight. Who's in? Can anything from like that even is after the time frame that they're saying don't delete anything within this time frame? Yep. Is it don't delete anything, period, until we get this handled in a court?
Yeah, spoliation notices in general, it just depends. Like, what do you need? This one specifically, they said it is open-ended and forward-looking. Everything from okay. before, from these dates before, all the way up and through, no end date. They said you have an ongoing obligation to preserve text messages, DMs, social media posts, photos, audio, video, all location data, your GPS data, the device itself. You can't go and get a new phone, or if you do, just keep the old one. Smartwatches, again, you can get a new Apple Watch, but you better keep the old one. And anything that the prosecution gives you, if you take, you know, pretty much pictures, audio, if you go like, I'm going to record my own interview, that recording, they would want your version of it in case mm-hmm. before or after you were like, oh, I got to lie to the cops. Oh, anyway, here we go, you know, whatever. So it's forward looking and, It includes all of the pretty much everything you'd need. Like I said, text, DM, social, all that stuff.
Can they, if they somebody did get a new phone, can they go through that one too?
Yeah, yeah, because it's all your digital evidence. So it's like your digital wow. evidence.
So these kids are having to learn how you communicate like I did when I was in high school because you don't have any cell phones. And even
no, I mean, you have your cell phone, but right, it's just going to be red.
I'm saying I didn't have cell phones in high school. So, you know, if my friends and I needed to communicate, there wasn't written documentation of that. These kids have never lived in a world where that's not how you communicate with each other. And in fact, they almost exclusively communicate with each other like that. So my point was, if I knew that like, oh my God, anything I do from here on out can be reviewed in a court of law. I'm setting that phone down. Even if I have nothing to be worried about, I'm like, I don't want my text or anything to, like, even if it has nothing to do with anything, that's just, you feel so vulnerable and it's such an invasive and personal thing that I would imagine it really changes how you use that phone after you get that notice.
I wondered too, yeah, if they're all going to start writing notes to each other like we did back in the day. My mom, right? I remember I wrote a note maybe like fifth grade and it was like, you know, whatever. So-and-so is a sucks or is a bitch. And so-and-so was shown the letter by the untrustworthy person to whom I had written. And I was crying to my mom and I'm like, I can't believe she knew this. And that's when my mother was like, don't ever write anything down that you don't want read on the front page of the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And this was in 1995 or something. And I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. But I think that now that I think they don't know what they might've texted after, or they don't know. And they're also instructed they're instructed as well to turn off any auto delete functions. If it was like, oh, well, my Snapchat just erases after this long, or this is a disappearing conversation. Nah, you got to turn that off. And if you don't, then sort of the question is, well, what if I just say, fuck you? Well, if you just say, fuck you and delete everything, and then you proceed on getting sued, then I believe, at least in our jurisdiction, other jurisdictions, you get an adverse inference, which is where the judge goes, hey, we told them to preserve this evidence and they didn't. So for you as the jury, you have to infer that whatever was on that was probably incriminating and bad. Oof. And that you have to just consider that they deleted something. So we're just going to tell you. So it's probably better just not to delete it.
Yeah.
Unless it's just like, can't believe we did the crime. Then yes, then you just turn yourself in because they're going to find out.
Yeah. The following day, Officer Tatum released the first parts of a multi-part interview with Warren Hudson, in which Warren tried to address what he described as misinformation about the case. That same week, independent autopsy results were announced at the NAACP National Convention in Chicago. Nolan's cause and manner of death were ruled, quote, undetermined pending investigation. The exam found no skull fractures, no major fractures, and no deep tissue injuries that clearly explained the cause of death. It noted an area of, quote, red discoloration of the soft tissue near the occipital bone, but described the finding as inconclusive. Decomposition limited what could be determined about bruising or other injuries. Nolan's throat and lungs had been retained by Mississippi officials per standard protocol, further limiting the independent exam scope.
Yeah, it was paid for by Colin Kaepernick, and it was after the initial state autopsy was completed. And this is the results, it's like a PDF, have been made public, and there's a drawing of the back of his skull, and there's a 12x8 part on the lower part of his skull, in my opinion, where if someone was tripped backwards or pushed backwards, might hit their head.
Yeah.
That's about like that. All I could. And then the fact that they're in his entire throat, trachea, the lungs make sense if he was found in the water. And presumably there's some sort of drowning involved. But the lungs, throat, trachea, I don't know what happened to that and why that would be retained.
And those findings haven't been made public yet. Mm-mm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
The official state autopsy remained sealed. Jackson County DA Angel Myers McIlrath released a video statement confirming the case would be presented to a grand jury, and the evidence, including the official autopsy, would stay sealed until that review. staying.
Every death in the county, except those of natural causes and non-criminal car wrecks, is presented to your grand jury. We have handled death investigations in this manner my entire career.
I don't think a lot of people know that, too. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like the steps something has to take to eventually get to trial, and how, depending on what exactly happened in that case, it's going to vary. You gave me a whole rundown of grand juries the other night because I was like, I just don't understand. And it made a lot of sense. But, you know, I mean, this is how they do it there. Before it goes to trial, you present everything to the grand jury and they say, yeah, we think there's enough evidence here that something happened and we're going to trial. Or no, this there's not enough evidence and we're not.
Mm-hmm. And one big thing about grand jury, it's a group of citizens, usually 15 have to indict. So it's not, you know, just six or just 12. And also the burden of proof is much lower. When you're convicting a person, you have to be beyond a reasonable doubt, but they just need probable cause, which is just enough even to get a warrant. And it's completely secret proceedings. It's going to stay like this, the sealed beforehand, and what is discussed in inside of the grand jury will remain sealed as well. It's confidential. And I think that there's no defense, obviously, because there's no one at issue. So the DA's office will come in and say, this is all the evidence we have. This is what we need. And then you hear the word true bill or a no bill. And a true bill is where they issue an indictment, and a no bill, they say, oh, it was an accident. You know, there's no evidence. But if new evidence comes in, it could go back to a grand jury. So that's as we wait for this grand jury to be seated and for it to proceed, which probably is going to take a while. There's a lot of evidence. I think we can at least hang our hats on. The family has continued, and through their civil attorneys, continued their own investigation. So if this initial grand jury says, we think it was an accident, by then they can get the actual autopsy and their own person can look at his lungs, his throat, all that. And then they can continue their investigation. And if they find new evidence, charges could be brought.
Mm-hmm. As national attention intensified, so did threats against the families involved. Mississippi Department of Public Safety Commissioner Sean Tyndall said the FBI was investigating threats against witnesses, public officials, and the Wells family. He attributed the hostility to
false information
circulating online. Governor Tate Reeves blamed attorney Ben Crump and Reverend Al Sharpton for stoking division he suggested was fueling the threats.
I'm glad the governor jumped in, not to say justice should be served, but instead to be like, hey, shut up about this iniquity in our state. I don't need to hear about insert.
No, and that two black men are responsible for stoking division.
Mm-hmm. The black guys are the ones doing it. Yeah. Thanks, Gov.
Officer Tatum then posted a separate interview with Trayston Shepard in late July, in which Shepard gave a fuller account of his fight that day and his last exchange with Nolan. Around the same time, the Department of Marine Resources released the Sea Tow distress call audio to press. Later released GPS and towed boat data reportedly confirmed seven people were aboard the returning boat without Nolan. As the call and its two enhanced versions went viral, TMZ separately reported that
at least two witnesses
told law enforcement Nolan was seen on the island after the boat departed, per anonymous sources. That claim has not been corroborated by any other source, but it was later repeated by Officer Tatum during additional interviews with Warren and his friends.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that almost, I won't say immediately, but subsequent thereto of the Sea Tow audio, which we discussed last time going viral, that then you get this statement of, well, Officer Tatum said, very, very fine, upstanding Ocean Springs citizens that are so fine. And I thought, you are speaking about two adults, and my money is on them being blood related to somebody in this case, whether an immediate blood relative or extended blood relative. But it was just interesting that he said these two fine citizens that have not identified themselves, but presumably will talk to the grand jury.
Mm-hmm. By the end of July, reporting confirmed the case was headed to a Jackson County grand jury with around 60 witnesses having been interviewed. Civil suits began to take shape as well. Russell Latino, attorney for Bart Edmondson Jr., sent a cease and desist letter to an influencer that has over 200,000 followers who called his client a suspect. Latino said it was the first step in a large, potentially nationwide legal effort adding that the family had hired a private investigator to identify additional targets. Bart's family publicly retained Latino and stated Bart had fully cooperated with investigators, including turning over his phone, boat, and GPS data. Neither he nor any of Nolan's friends have been named a suspect.
And that's one thing. It's one thing to say, I watched an interview with these folks and I got a weird feeling about it. I don't know what's going on. But to go on the news, or not go on the news, to go on your platform and say, Bart Emiston, a suspect in the killing of Nolan Wells, is defamatory on its face. It is called defamation per se. You don't have to prove that the target was damaged when you either recklessly or knowingly say that they did a crime. Like, there's a lot of states, they have, like, if you say someone is sexually which is weird to, like, say someone's, I don't want to say, like, the slut shaming defense, but truly it's like if you accuse someone of having a disease and giving it to people, but that's not true, like abhorrent behavior, states have enumerated certain ones that are so bad you don't have to prove you're damaged, and calling any of these folks a suspect or anything like that falls under that. So this influencer has kind of said, like, it's not going to stop me. Probably will, though, because it's a lawsuit. So I mean, how much money do you have? If you make a lot of money off 200,000 followers, I don't know, maybe.
They've also said other creators could be sued. So there's a fine line between saying blank killed Nolan Wells. And here are the facts. It's kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. That these two things happened. I wonder why that is. Those are two very different things.
Yeah, I mean, she went hard. She called him one of three suspects. I believe she said he engaged in he did something that caused Nolan to die, which I haven't seen any evidence of that.
No, I don't think we have enough evidence to say any of that.
No, and I think she said, oh, he tried to cover up what he did. And I believe also doxed him, like address, phone number, like where they live, where family members work. So it's a... when you see, we all want the same thing, right? A thorough, legitimate investigation where people are held accountable. And when you do shit like this, or when you call in death threats to their family, you're just turning them into victims. Like, they're going to go like, I'm such a victim. Leave them alone and let them sweat. If they're met with silence, whoever, I'm not talking about Bart, whoever, if you think I'm going to solve it by calling them and threatening them, you're not.
No. You're not. In fact, you're going to make it harder for a... grand jury or a trial or anything, because you're diluting the case a bit, you know? And like you said, turning people into victims, or maybe something gets said that, like, now that means that doesn't get to be brought in as evidence because somebody said something that fucked that up.
Yeah, you never know. Or the grand jury happens to see stuff and then they're swayed when they get, although you're supposed to say whether you've seen it or not. But yeah, this social media influencer specifically said, you know, it's going to boost my profile. I have people that are going to represent me. Like, who cares? And then both Paltzik, who represents Warren, Jax, and Morgan, and this Latino fella, as well as who represents Bart, have all been like, we're going to sue you if you say anything about our client. So they're ready. They're primed and ready.
As the newly enhanced CETO audio spread online, the families involved said scrutiny and threats intensified further, including people confronting the young men in public and accusing them of wrongdoing online. Warren Hudson's father, Ben Hudson, told the New York Post that he and other families planned to sue Ben Crump for defamation and slander, accusing him of financially exploiting the case. Around the same time, Ben Crump announced his team had hired forensic audio engineers to independently analyze the full CETO call, along with oceanic engineering experts to examine whether tidal patterns were consistent with where Nolan's body was recovered.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average.
They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount.
See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
And the rest will be discussed in part 3.
It will indeed. All of August.
So what do we think up until now?
Well, you tell me what you think.
I think it's all very suspicious. I mean, I think that if you had nothing to hide, you wouldn't feel the need perhaps to go so overboard, no pun intended, mm-hmm. to make yourself look innocent. To me, whenever someone is like really trying hard to sell a story before even like the story has really even come out, I just have to question like why. I mean, it's kind of like we've talked about and mentioned in passing, like the Barbara Streisand effect. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people wouldn't even know of these, what these young men have said had it not been for them going on this platform and having hours and hours of interviews. Me personally, I'd be like, I'm not saying shit until I am called in a grand jury hearing, you know, like mm-hmm. to lawyer up so fast to go on these interview circuits that are of your own doing. It's all suspicious. I mean, do I think that there's enough evidence for it to go to a grand jury? For sure. Mm-hmm. Do I think there's enough evidence for it to go to trial? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, especially given all the reports and the digital media evidence we haven't seen.
Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, we see so often things like this happen. And I'm not saying this is what happened here. I'm just saying that in the Deep South, we see a lot of times rich white people getting away with stuff, specifically when it concerns a person of color. It would be ignorant for either of us to say that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Or for anyone to say that doesn't happen. I mean, it happens a lot, and you can look at the history books to see just how often it does happen. So, you know, I mean, I have my theories of what happened to Nolan. Until more stuff has come out, I'm not going to say what those theories are necessarily, but do I think foul play was involved? Yes.
I mean, I think something, I don't know who was involved. There's 1,000 people on the island, so I'm mm-hmm. not pointing fingers to someone specific. But his injury and then the timeline and activities of a myriad of people, again, I'm not pointing the finger at a single person, indicates to me that there are more folks out there who know more, that they have not said anything, which is good they haven't said it publicly, because that's the kind of thing you hold for a grand jury, mm-hmm. because you don't want, you know, you don't want to taint the pool or whatever. A couple of things that stood out to me on the recent Officer Tatum call, the very beginning of part two, it's called part two, the truth comes out as Nolan Wells' friends address the CETO call. It's linked in our show notes.
Okay. May I quit? Just that is a, what's the word? A charged leading title of a video that is not unbiased.
The amount of times that Officer Tatum asked questions as if he were their attorneys, including yes. stopping them in the middle. I marked a couple times where he'll stop or he'll gesture to who he wants to talk. And in fact, one of them started talking and he went, no, do that part first. And like corrected him and had him stop the story mm-hmm. and start somewhere else. He at no point is a disinterested, neutral.
No, source. Not neutral.
He's very pro fellas. Even so, he begins this video with a pull quote, which is fully in context later in the interview. But it's Jax who says, I'm quoting Jax directly, why would we call CETO if we have a dead body on the boat? I mean, why would we call the Coast Guard, you know? Why would we do the things we did if we know we killed somebody? Nobody said, I didn't say you killed anybody. I didn't say you had a dead body on the boat.
Yeah.
Officer Tatum didn't say you had a dead body on the boat.
Wasn't it? Someone also said the word murder, and it was like, no one said murder yet.
Yeah.
If when you're the first one to say those words, I mean, my ears go up. It's an immediate, like, who said murder? Who said yes. dead body? Like, none of that's come out yet. Not even Nolan Wells's family has come out and said any of that. So it seems like someone that's trying to get ahead of a story.
And you're right. Ed Paltzik, the lawyer, is the one. He said, Ed Paltzik said, there's no possible way that anybody could have committed a murder in broad daylight on a barren, windswept island that is narrow and was just swamped with people in that broad daylight. And then he said later, if you just murdered your best friend on an island, the dumbest thing you could do would be to call the Coast Guard.
Oh, my God.
And then Jackson, a different part of the a different interview, he says, there's no way we could have done a murder. I mean, there's no way we could have covered it up, especially out there with that many people.
Done a murder is a weird way to phrase that.
And Paltzik, in a different part of the thing, said, first of all, with respect to Warren, if you just murdered your best friend on an island, yeah, the dumbest thing you could do would be to call the Coast Guard. So, yeah.
Well, he didn't immediately call them.
No, it's not till 11 o'clock.
He waited, I mean, half a day to call them. And I mean, this is my own opinion. I don't think that's the dumbest thing that you could do.
No.
I think your lawyer might say it's the dumbest thing you could do to make it look like, see, nope, they couldn't have done this, or they wouldn't have done these stupid things. Perhaps in the hours that took place until that call, one would have enough time to think, like, what would somebody do to make themselves look like they're trying to find Nolan?
Or what could I
do
now?
Or that they are they are concerned.
Yeah, and it's not to say, 30 people killed somebody. It doesn't have to be that. I think there's something happened.
Yeah.
A person or persons saw what happened. A person or persons may have assisted what happened afterwards. And a person or person or family members might have, said, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I don't know. Because everybody's argument keeps being like, there's so many people out there. The full quote from Jax was, I mean, that it's just so crazy to think, why would we call CETO if we have a dead body on the boat? I mean, why would we call the Coast Guard, Why would we do the things we did if we know we killed somebody? And then another follow-up is why aren't we in jail yet? I mean, we're not geniuses. We can't. There's no way we could have done a murder. I mean, there's no way we could have covered it up, especially out there with that many people.
Well, I will agree they're not geniuses. That's probably the only thing I've agreed with.
Shout outs for a little bit of self-awareness, my friend. But so I don't know who it is. I don't know who it's involved. I'm not saying it was any. Ed Paltzik said repeatedly, my clients did not hurt Nolan Wells.
I think that phrasing is very interesting, too.
All three of these, like these three guys did nothing. And I'm like,
did not hurt him.
He did not hurt him. Yeah.
Did not see what happened. Did not. Assistant, whatever happened afterwards. There's a lot of people that could be involved in something that happens that didn't actually cause that thing to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
you're just around, you see it. And then you're like, oh, shit. Well, I'm going to help clean this up. Or whatever you're doing afterwards, or I'm going to have to call my mom 8 times who's on the other side of the island.
Yeah, he never said why he had to call his mom, why he called his mother repeatedly to get connected with her, and it was so vital. He never said why. And maybe he was like, I've got diarrhea and I'm shitting down my britches. Mama, where are you with the Imodium?
Or because they think the boat's taking on water.
Whatever.
So, again, that's why I think the phone records are going to be really interesting because was the call 8 times to the mom made before the CETO call?
Yeah.
Like, what's the order of these phone calls and the time in between each one?
Yeah, no, I would like to know that as well. I think the grand jury proceedings will be good to establish a big timeline. And in the interim, the grown men who spoke with Officer Tatum said, you know, this, it's hurting us how much people are talking about us. Shut up. You're the reason why we're talking about it, because I keep having to analyze what you dipshits keep saying, because you keep saying contradictory things, confusing things. And in this one today, I'll leave you with this of the under. So what do we think? Tatum asks, is this the first time you guys went to Horn Island with Nolan? And Jack says, no, we've been there this year alone. We've probably been there 3 times with Nolan. And the previous year we went, he went out with us. Every time we go, Nolan's with us every 4th of July, yada, yada. So then Warren says, I mean, no one was with us 2 weeks prior to the 4th of July, saying they went as a group and it was an empty Horn Island, just this friend group and Nolan. And Warren says, quote, with no one out there, if we had any intention to hurt Nolan at the island, why would we do it on the 4th of July with thousands of people out there? I mean, it's pretty clear. Like, we all went out there for my buddy's birthday and no one was with a whole group of people like we were on the 4th. So, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. So they keep using these phrases. If we were going to murder him, if we were going to hurt him, if we were going to do this. I didn't say you hurt him.
Nobody said murder.
I didn't say you murdered. Your lawyer said murder multiple times. I didn't think that. I told you. Based upon the injuries I saw, perhaps it could be he could have befallen an accident or something. Who knows? It could have been a fight, could have been an accident, could have been, I don't know. But sure, interesting that we bring up these phrases. And Jax starts more than one of his answers with, so what I can say, or what I will say, or I'll say this. And that just kept, like, when you're transcribing, you just catch the phrases. And I'm like, I already typed that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm nitty about these things. And again, I don't think I'm being unfair. They're the ones that talked into the fucking microphone.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't even have an episode if
literally
these dipshits hadn't just decided, hey, I'm going to give hours upon hours of content of our firsthand account witness of what happened. I mean, no one is forcing them to do this. So they're kind of... digging their own grave here, because I think they think they are getting ahead of it and laying the groundwork for, like, we couldn't have possibly done this. And I don't necessarily think anyone there had the intention of killing Nolan that day.
No.
Like, I don't think that happened.
It was a regular day. It was a regular day in the morning.
Now, do accidents happen because people get in arguments? Sure, that does happen.
Could be.
And then can an accident turn into, oh, fuck, this is a major situation now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, like you said, somebody grappling, you know, two people wrestling around and they're drunk and one of them hits their head and one of them, you know, Nolan hits his head, his trachea is crushed because somebody does an arm bar on him or something. I don't know. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. And until we have the full autopsy results, I can't know. So my official, so what do we think? I'm not accusing anybody of murder. Ed Paltzik, to the extent you're listening, you bald bitch. but I am going to quote the fellas back to themselves, which is to say they are grown men and they are not geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see what we think next week.
Yes. We will. We have a part 3 coming, and because this is a ever evolving case as we speak, who knows what information is going to come out. It's interesting when we do these cases where they're happening in real time, because, I mean, sometimes we'll record an episode and literally at 5 minutes after we hit stop, it's like, oh my God.
Huge update.
Somebody was arrested, you know, like so who knows what's going to happen between now and then.
Yeah, there's been some arrests in these cases. In this case, we'll talk about next time. So nobody that's a suspect for Nolan, though. So we'll tell you about all the arrests.
No.
But if you have anything, if you're from this area, for real, like you're actually from this area, not pretending to be, you're free to email us anytime at sinisterheadpodcast@gmail.com, because we see a lot of internet rumors that maybe we don't see, but we can help debunk them or address them. You know, like here, when folks said that Bart and Katie were together. So it's important to debunk stuff.
Yes, and like we said last time, if you do live there and you have any sort of information, or, I mean, you have any information at all that could help, you can go to bencrump.com/NolanWellsTipLine to provide that. And it can all be provided anonymously as well.
Yeah, please. If you know something, I feel like the answer is going to be a Paul Murdoch thing. There's going to be an answer in the Snapchat somewhere.
Yep. Man, a thing that didn't even exist 10 They're years like, ago. I mean, 15 years ago?
Yeah, 10? 15 years ago. Yeah, man, Snapchat was around when I worked at the hedge fund because I remember when it was going to IPO. And I remember being like, how do they make money? So yeah, probably 15 years ago.
It's fascinating when things like this, you're like, damn, not even two decades ago, this thing didn't exist. And like, and the Murdoch trial is basically what sealed the deal. So these things that most people don't think of on just a random day where they're partying, because that's what it is. And mm-hmm. everyone's just filming stuff and snapping. And there's so many people there. Like they said, there was hundreds of people there that it does stand to reason that like there's more that will come out somehow digitally.
Yeah. And perhaps if he really was there after six, like the upstanding anonymous citizens say, hopefully there would be some sort of evidence for that. But if there's mm-hmm. not, and it really is just two people saying it, then I'd like to know how they know everyone involved.
Yes, I would like to know that as well.
That'll be something we reveal once we know it. So thanks. Yeah.
So stay tuned for part three. Well, if you like our free episodes like the one you just listened to, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
I got a silly ass Heather Saves in the coming down the pipeline for you. And like we said, a True Crime Headlines talking about old J.P. Miller going to court, amongst other things. We also have a free trial. So if you're like, what's that? Go do a free trial. It's where you join Patreon at one of the tiers. You stick around for the whole week. Binge whatever you want, cancel on or before the seventh day without getting charged, or stick around for an annual subscription and get so much fun stuff all year long.
Yes, including our monthly Q&A, which is this Thursday. Thank so you. You're listening to this on Wednesday. If you're like, I wonder what those are all about, now's the time to do the free trial. I always am like, I'm going to save all my coupons for when I get the biggest bang for my buck. And when there's a live stream, that is when you should do it, in my opinion.
Do it.
And in addition to that, you get ad-free episodes, quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all vote on the content for that. Weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes. We have one on the Afro Man trial coming soon. Merch discounts and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the live chat, the videos before they are edited for YouTube not to take them down, and just the vibes. And now we've switched it up a bit, and this last Sunday Scaries
was fun.
Maybe the most fun we've had since we started these.
It was.
We realized everyone in the chat, we just all want to catch up with each other. Like, what's gone on that week? What is on everybody's mind? Like cases, food they recently had.
Yeah, someone's I'm in labor. We're like,
anything could be discussed. Yeah, like this new album that just dropped.
I'm in labor with my baby for this last week.
Yes, golly. I hope you've had that baby by now.
Little Cuntley, she's on her way.
But it's a lot of fun. And if you can't be there live, we're now dropping the audio from Sunday Scaries on Monday. So you described it very aptly the other day when you're like, it's like drive time stuff. Yeah. Put it on in the morning on your way to work or whatever. And it's silly, fun stuff mixed in with like some maybe more serious stuff. And then we reserve the very end to watch 5 or so videos that you all have sent in.
And we also can just discover breaking news as it happens.
Oh, my gosh.
The chat told us that Hayden Panettiere died while we were streaming, and we all were talking about her and, you know, eulogizing her. Rest in peace. She, I'll tell you what, she went through it, and we'll talk about it on Sunday, or maybe we'll talk about it in the Q&A, because I think she was exploited her whole life in more ways than one.
It's so sad. I was not aware of just how exploited she was from a very young age. She started acting at 5. I did not know that.
Yeah, in commercials, as a baby. I'm like, you don't have a chance. You know, you're just, the industry will chew you up and spit you out. But that's the kind of fun stuff we discuss on Sunday Scaries. Just, you know, pop culture. Interesting. What's going on?
It's always a good time. So this is you don't even have to pay to do that. It's totally free. So you get your free trial. You get the Q&A. Then you also can tune in Sunday, and then you can see, like, do I want to stick around for a tier and make that decision?
Do it. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episode, live streams, and more. If you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. It's the perfect way to celebrate birthdays, birth announcements, graduations, whatever it is, back to school. You want a little pep talk from us as you're starting a new school year. We will create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Order it from your house. Don't even put your pants on. Don't leave into the heat, and use the website cameo.com/sinisterhood to get the best price. Where can you be on the internet?
I can be anywhere. I think I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
Heatherversustheworld.com, or just anywhere that you go. I don't know, whatever.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. See you.